You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. This podcast and all the podcasts at OneOfUs.net are brought to you by you, the subscribers. It's you guys who pay for us to keep putting out new content. And thank you so much. I can't tell you how much we appreciate it here because we love what we do. Also brought to you by Oscar Blues Brewing. Located in Austin, Texas, Boulder, Colorado, Longmont, Colorado, and Brevard, North Carolina, it's the original craft beer in the can.
Hello and welcome to the Interv.cast show, the show where we, the hosts, much like the features that we review, have not yet graduated up to theatrical release. That's right. All the other critics out there are like John Goodman. They take a hit and they keep on going. We're more like all the other characters from Roseanne. We're pretty much fucked.
Yeah. Laurie Metcalf will be doing all right. She was in Lady Bird.
Yeah. Who saw Lady Bird?
Me. Lots of people saw Lady Bird.
You know, I was a little disappointed by Lady Bird.
Oh, no, I really dug it. I thought it was a really, really well-made movie.
In terms of, like, teen angst movies, coming-of-age movies, it's not one of the memorable ones, I thought.
I mean, it's no Perks of Being a Wallflower, but I really dug it.
Perks of Being a Wallflower isn't even a Perks of Being on the Wallflower. Like, that book is... don't get me wrong, I actually enjoyed the adaptation of it, but the book is billions times better.
Honestly, I like the movie a little bit more.
Honestly, I didn't know you could read. Oh.
That's fair.
We are your host.
TJ!
And Leslie.
And Davey.
Davey.
The person, the illiterate, the foolish, the cowardly.
The almost 21.
Getting closer every single day.
Yeah, you are. And then finally we can actually bring you down here to hang out with us.
Yeah, I'll get to go to Austin and do fun things, and I won't get kicked out unceremoniously.
You know, I was really worried about you when we were at that bar, and they made you stand on the outside of the bar, and that one homeless dude was, like, not leaving you alone.
Yeah, that was terrifying.
I was really, like, I was telling the bartender, the bouncer, I'm like, dude, if he gets stabbed because you're afraid that someone might card him once he's in the bar, that's kind of on you. Like, I will look out for him. He's not going to drink. He's just not, I just don't want him to get stabbed. Like, is that cool? And he's like, no, that's not cool. He can stay behind the whatever, fence. The fence. I'm like, are you serious? Like, dude, that's why you deserve less than $15 an hour.
All right, I don't know how we got into this conversation, but...
Because I'm political deep down, I'm very political.
So is Roseanne.
Yeah.
she's definitely that.
She's not deep down about it, though. She's like, I'm a dumb bitch. That was pretty funny. I thought that was like the... Because weren't we talking about that a couple episodes ago? We were like, man, Roseanne's back, isn't that weird?
Yeah, we definitely had a few words to say about Roseanne, and then she just waltzed right in there and just proved everything right.
Yep. So, yep. I haven't watched much lately. I finished Arrested Development Season 4.
Okay.
And it was, good. It was way better. It was definitely funnier than I remember it being, and, like, it was actually...
Than the original Season 4?
Yeah, and it was actually tolerable, and the pacing was much better, and I laughed a lot. So that's good.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good. Laughing is good.
Yeah, I rewatched Avengers Infinity War. I know you don't watch those movies, or did you make an exception for this one?
No, I watch them. I just don't care for them.
Okay. What did you think of this one?
It's fine.
Okay. Yeah, it's definitely my least favorite Avengers movie. I even like Civil War better than this one, but...
I did not like Civil War better than this one.
Yeah, well, that's because, you know, I have no more words for you. Oh, so last night I went to this trivia thing.
Okay.
Per Leslie's request. It was a bar trivia for Gilmore Girls TV show.
Yeah.
That literally sounds like the perfect thing for you.
What?
Like, if you were on your deathbed and someone said to me, like, hey, Davey, you got to figure out the perfect last moment for TJ.
Anyway, so yeah, I was doing the Gilmore Girls trivia show, and Leslie was carrying the team, along with another person from our friends group, and then this other couple we ran into who were, like, just a two-party team, and were like, that's stupid, join us. So they joined us. And we tied for first with a perfect score.
All right.
And I think I call that a win. Right?
Well, I mean, it's a tie. You tied.
Yeah, we tied for first, so there was a tiebreaker that was a math question.
Oh, no.
So we didn't tie for first, we got second.
I thought that was unfair. All because TJ can't math.
I handed in my man card and Asian card all in one night.
I was gonna say, like, shouldn't you be there to represent the stereotype?
I didn't. I was, like, really proud of our tie for first and our perfect score, and then all of a sudden they're like, yeah, how many days are in 7 years? Or it was something like that. What was it? It was how many days have passed since
the first episode
and the season series finale. And I'm like, well, there's 7 seasons, so you times that by 365, and usually seasons end in May but start in August, so you got minus the summer, and I had, like, 3 minus 4 drinks, and then, yeah, it didn't
work out.
And
carried a zero. And
I carried a zero, and we were off by, like, 2,000.
Jesus Christ.
And now I look back, I'm like, how the fuck did I think there was 2,000 extra days?
Our life.
Yeah, 300 times 7, you know, 365 times 7 is like 2,100, and somehow we ended up near 4,000. So I added 2,000 somewhere. Oh, whatever. So I was really kind of sad. I was bummed out. I thought it had been kind of funny, like, if I had actually gotten first place. We. She carried the team. I only ended up actually answering, like, a couple of questions, right? But
you only answered one, and it was the math question. You made a mistake.
Exactly.
But, you know what? So I'm just going to say we tied at first. Yep.
Whatever makes you feel better at night.
Yep. Leslie, what have you been watching?
God awful shit.
She has a Netflix review for us.
I do.
What have you subjected yourself to now?
The Kissing Booth. Don't get too excited. It was shit.
I'm so excited because I know that it's shit.
So, basically, it's about this girl and her best friend who basically were born on the same day. And, the chick, oh my god, is Joey King. She plays Shelly. And then there's also the best friend. His name is Joel Courtney, who I've never seen in my life before.
That's the kid from Super 8.
Really?
Yeah, that's the main kid from Super 8.
Seen Super 8.
I don't think I have either, but I don't know.
Have you seen Stranger Things?
Yes.
Have you seen The Goonies?
Yes.
That's Super 8. Oh. Mixed together.
Okay.
It's a very 13-year-old boy movie.
Ah, I see. Well, he plays Lee Flynn, which is, like I said, the best friend. And they came up with these rules of their friendship. Basically, always have to make up after a fight. If the other person gives you ice cream, you can't fall in love with one of the person's relatives. Yada yada yada. There's like 30 of these goddamn freaking rules. And apparently,
so it's like Zombieland.
Yeah, but with teenage angst teenagers that aren't really teenagers because you could tell they're already about 40 and somehow their parents are rich and it doesn't state where they make their money from, so they live in these like big old mansions and for whatever reason they're almost always naked or stripping and they're like 16-year-olds and it's very awkward. But basically, she ends up falling for the brother who is, like, the ultimate football star and has the reputation of hooking up with girls and getting around.
Let me guess. It's all lies, and people just talk about him, and he's really, like, self-conscious that people think that of him.
No, he actually hooks up with these bitches. That's his reputation.
Which teen cliche is this one?
But the caveat, I don't even know if that's the right word, is basically he is telling all the other guys who are interested in this chick who plays Shelly, or Elle, to say, like, hey, don't date her. She's off limits. So she's never had a date nor a real kiss in her life. Which then leads into, hey, we need to think of a really cool thing for the end summer fair or whatever. So they come up with this idea called the Kissing Booth. They go into a long 40-minute segment just talking about the booth and how they're going to get it set up. And when they get it set up and everything like that, they have, like, an art room, basically, of them, like, oh, let's paint this and let's do this and let's build this with curtains. At the end, there's no goddamn fucking paint. Anything painted, everything is electric signs, which I have no idea where the school came up with goddamn money. It's ridiculous. But anyway, at the end, they hook up and hide the relationship from the brother / best friend because he started dating somebody and blah, 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 blah. And And yeah, it's stupid.
Are the characters, do they have a...
They're stupid. The girl is basically a whore in every shot. Wow. She's...
Wow, slut shaming. Wow.
She's...
Jesus Christ, this is 20 fucking 18.
Yeah.
I
mean, she's like, and there were 218 people that she hooked up with, so.
Well, no, she only hooked up with the one guy, but every scene she's either stripping, which I think is so stupid. She's like, oh, I'm drunk, I'm going to take my shirt off because it's hot. Who fucking does that? And like every time like it shows her in studying in her room, she's in her bra and undies. Oh.
I feel like that's more of a problem with the filmmaker than anything else. That sounds really fucking creepy.
Yeah, it was very weird. But turns out the guy that played the brother, which is Noah Flynn, the boyfriend crush dude, Jacob Elordi, he had I think it was like he helped produce it or something weird like that. But he's also dating Joey King
in
real life. So.
Oh, that's very... Yeah, no, that's weird. She's...
Yeah.
Just 18.
Yeah.
I saw this thing on Facebook. Someone had posted, like, a meme or something. And it was like, the characters from The Kissing Booth are actually dating in real life. Sure. And reason number 13 will melt your heart or something like that. And then I was like, oh, I feel so bad for Leslie. And all I did was read the title of that article.
Yeah.
That is, like, everything wrong with everything right now.
Yeah.
Like, everything wrong with everything.
It when it came to the filming side of it, it didn't make any sense. It would jump to one story and then backtrack and then talk about something else that just contradicted everything that it just stated. And then it shot stuff that didn't even make any sense pertaining to the movie. Like, I don't even remember.
Just filler stuff.
Just filler stuff. And it was literally, like, the worst. It felt like 3 hours to me. But, let's see. What does it say? Hour and 45 minutes of this bullshit.
Jeez.
And
apparently, that's long for a Netflix thing.
And apparently it's TV-14. I don't think that this should be TV-14 with how many times they showed butts, crotch shots, and, you know, boob shots, and people getting naked in their, or
okay.
Undressed.
You are being sarcastic. There was no nudity.
Was no nudity. I never said that.
You said there were butts, which implies nudity.
No, butt shots, meaning if someone's walking, they zoom into the butt or the crotch area.
Is it fucked up that they're sexualizing characters that, in the context of the film, are minors? Yes, but it's not technically, like,
but
it's not
fucking
technically
creepy,
inappropriate content.
Though, but it's creepy. It's not TV-14 worthy, though.
It's kind of creepy. It feels like the aftertaste of, like, this Harvey Weinstein sexualized Hollywood kind of era. You know what I mean? We're like,
yeah.
We have this leftover feelings of, like, we have to sexualize these kids, and they're willing to do it, so let's push it as far as we possibly can before we look like we're the bad guys, even though we kind of are.
Are?
Yeah.
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 It was weird.
What do you give it?
I give it, honestly, I give it a 1 out of 5. It tastes like pink shots.
Okay.
That's a reference.
Real quick question. Did any of the characters have, like, chemistry with each other?
No,
was they at least
didn't.
Cute watching them fall for each other?
No. They, okay. As a couple generally, they are the most awkward people ever. The best friends were had a little bit more chemistry, but even with them, it was very awkward to watch them. There were like the mean girls or the clique that's all popular, and they start hanging out with that one girl who literally is the nerd of the school, if you will. And they're even awkward as all hell. So, just very weird.
Oh, I wish there was a sound cue for when people roll their eyes, because then this entire review would just be peppered with that sound coming from me.
Yeah. Oh, and at the end of the kissing booth, they end up kissing at the
end. So the whole titular plot is them, when they're already dating.
And already doing it, that's one of the things. Oh yeah, I lost my virginity to him. And then the brother gets all pissed off about that. But anyway, then at the end, they end up kissing each other. Oh. You already fucked and probably have an STD now. Get over it. That's my review of The Kissing Booth. Don't watch it. It's shit.
Anything else you've been seeing?
No.
I wanted to double back. I forgot that I saw, I finally got around to watching Jigsaw.
Jesus Christ.
And I was a big fan of the Saw series. I was a very strong argumentative person about it. This one is pretty bad.
I mean, it's not as bad as, like, Saw the final chapter.
Sure, but that's only, the only thing that's different about that is in that one, he actually murders people, like, legit, straight up murders people. This one, you know, it goes back to the mythos of, like, they deserved it or whatever, but, yeah.
But it's still stupid.
It's stupid. It's unnecessary. Yeah.
Yeah.
I kind of fell for the plot, for the twist. I was like, oh, I should have seen that coming. After it was over, I was like, I guess I should have saw that twist coming, because that's the only thing that makes sense. But I didn't.
Yeah. That's how these movies always are. They get one good one and then seven garbage movies.
No, that's not even true. One, two, three,
three
six.
Is awful.
No, three is pretty good. One, two, three, and six.
I give you one, two, and six. But three is a dog shit.
No, four and seven are dog shit. Four, at least three was passable if you don't like, but it's not seven.
Three, I remember three making me really angry.
Oh, God. Anyway. Anyway, so yeah, that's all I saw recently. Yeah. Davey, why don't you tell us what we're up to today?
Well, first I would like to do a little recap of my own.
Oh?
I didn't watch any additional movies or TV shows, but I found a tick on my balls, and I thought you guys would find that funny.
A tick?
What?
Yeah.
Is it the tick?
Yes.
Is it blue?
Yeah.
It is Peter Serafinowicz, and he will not fucking leave.
Oh, yeah? Well, why don't you get that looked at, man?
I probably should. No, that's literally the only thing that I have to recap, and I thought y'all would enjoy that. So
I feel like if you were to make a you-know-what kind of, I'm trying to dodge around, I'm going to dance around stuff here. If you were to make a suicide tape, that might be one of the reasons why.
Fuck, all right, cool.
Don't make a suicide tape, though, Davey.
I'm not going to make a suicide tape.
You sure? Because it seems like this show really wants people to commit suicide.
No. What the fuck?
Come on. This show, at least the first season, was pretty adamant about, like, shouldn't you kill yourself? Isn't it lovely? Look how many people will start talking about you.
Oh, the first season?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were saying our show.
Oh, no.
I was like, what the
no,
fuck?
I am.
We don't want people
to kill
themselves.
The first season of our show.
Yeah, no. We are reviewing 13 Reasons Why Season 2, colloquially known as Reasons 14 through 26.
And it has no ticks attached to balls.
Unfortunately.
No ticks attached to balls. Just the tick that is sucking away that is the writing and the acting and the storytelling and the direction and the cinematography and the editing and the messaging and the backpedaling and the scoring.
Ooh,
backpedaling. I ran out of fingers.
Yeah. And I ran out of reasons.
Backpedaling is a good biggest right off the bat. That's definitely my biggest problem with it. But what's this season about, Davey?
Nothing.
That's not true.
This season's about goddamn nothing.
No, that's not true.
Okay,
it's about the fallout from season one, which is honestly I found this season way more entertaining and interesting, and I'm gonna say the C word, captivating. Because,
wow.
I know.
Okay.
Because at least this season was somewhat interesting in that their interactions with each other had sort of a purpose as opposed to people just being shitty to each other for no reason or logic. And, like, the fallout's kind of interesting. The tapes are out. Everyone knows what pieces of shit everyone is. And it's interesting trying to see each other, like, attain for that. I thought it was interesting.
Alright, so for those of you, if anyone has been living under a rock, the first season of 13 Reasons Why, we reviewed it last year, it was like one of the first things we talked about, and it's about this girl named Hannah Baker who creates 13 tapes right before she kills herself, and sends out those tapes to multiple people, and it's all about like the reasons why she's doing this, stuff that has been done by her classmates, her peers, etc., and the main one was her being raped by someone named Bryce, and this season picks up after all of this information has come out, and it's this girl, Hannah, her parents trying to sue the school for not taking proper actions, and in the process, everyone trying to get justice against Bryce and just generally kind of try and wrap up this whole thing.
Right, and in the previous season, every episode was one tape about a specific person and so on. In this season, every episode is a person on the trial.
Yeah.
Recounting their version of the story. And sometimes they tell the truth, sometimes they don't, and sometimes they bring up shit that is so, like, should have been known already. It's just the writers making shit up. And why wasn't it on their tape to begin with? I don't know.
Right.
So I want to do this as a spoiler review because I don't have much to say that isn't spoiler related. So let's do this backwards if you guys don't mind.
I think we should just go ahead and say generally, like, the general opinions and then just go through it beat by beat.
Right, so...
okay.
Yeah, so spoiler... wait, so say our reviews in the beginning or no?
Say the reviews in the beginning. I'll go first. This season's fucking awful. This is a terrible, terrible, terrible show. At least the first season had the decency of being well shot and well edited.
Whoa. Oh, I'll give you edited. Yeah, I remember us talking about that.
Do not watch this show.
What's your rating?
You guys?
What's your rating?
I will give it 2 out of 10 times that I wanted to throw my computer into the ocean.
Gotcha, gotcha. While you're on that, come up with two... While we're giving our review, our ratings, give me two things after I'm done. Okay, let's...
okay.
I thought it was shot very well this go-round. I felt like there was a little bit more chemistry between some characters. I really, really liked Clay Jensen, who was played by Dylan Minnette. I just really liked how he pushed himself a lot when it came to his acting this season. But basically, I hated the fact that they... what do you guys call it these days? Backpedaling? Is that what that is?
Retcon, mostly.
Yeah, so I hated the fact that happened, because, like TJ said, it would have been in their first fucking tape. I hated some of the side stories. I hated the fucking bitch that was living with Olivia. Hated her.
Can I interrupt you, because I'm going to forget?
What?
I just... that lady is so pointless. Like, literally every single scene she's in, it's the mom getting stressed out in the courtroom, turning to look at her buddy, and the buddy gasping, shaking her head, and rolling her eyes. That's every scene.
Every scene.
That's everything she does.
She's like 5 words throughout the whole
that's
dark audio.
That's all she does. And then she leaves, and it's supposed to be this big dramatic thing.
And no one gives.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry. Go on.
Basically, there were some scenes that I did get a little teary-eyed for. Of course, those were the ones mainly with Clay Jensen, and also with Tony, and what's his name?
The counselor.
Alex.
Oh.
No, Alex.
Oh, okay.
I really liked him. I really loved his hair this season. Alex Standall, who is played by Miles Heiser. Last season, he had bright blonde hair and a nose piercing. This year, he looks like an anime god.
He went from methed out Backstreet Boy to anime goth kid.
Yeah, and I love him. He's so cute. Anyway, just generally, I wish there were things that didn't get accounted for, like specific scenes with Justin Foley. I could go on and on. I'm going to rate it 3 out of 5. This is so punk rock. Okay.
Oh, yeah. The poster punk kids. So I generally liked this season more than I thought I would. I was putting off watching it, and we weren't sure when we were going to get around to recording this. But at the very least, once we started, I actually did sort of enjoy it. Just because the fallout I find way more interesting. I don't care about Hannah Baker. I still think she's a bitch. I still think she's a bad person. And I still think, sorry, that she's a little overdramatic in what she did. And her poor parents and poor Clay for being put through this emotional torture for no reason at all.
Even more on top of that this season, because...
Yeah, sure. But at the least, what I found interesting was the fallout and the interaction between characters, which I hated last season. I hated the characters' interaction because they were assholes to each other for no reason. And this time, some of them lied, some of them told the truth, some of them... The way they kind of formed, like, a, we're working together, we're going to fight, we're going to... We have a cause to fight now. I actually like that. And I thought a lot of them actually being friends and their chemistry worked for the most part. Like, there's a scene towards the end where they all... legit are a team and they start ganging up against the quote-unquote bad guys, and that was a good scene. Yeah. It didn't pay off for shit because this show doesn't know how to pay off things. It never lands on its feet, and of course what they end up doing is stupid, but at least they were trying to work together as opposed to just being pieces of shit. I'm proudly about it. So for that reason, and before getting the spoiler stuff, I did legit have a cry in one episode. So it elicited a response from me, and I appreciate that so much more than I was expecting to. Again, it doesn't land on its feet. The last episode is horrendous to me. And there's some stinkers in the middle too. But so overall, I give it I can't decide whether I want to give it a 4 or a 6 because it's right on the middle there. It's definitely not a 5 because I'm going to remember it. So I'm actually going to give it a 6.4. Oh, out of 10.
Wait,
6.4 jurors. 6.4 out of 12 jurors that had no fucking idea what they were doing. So, spoiler talk. Oh, wait, David, give me something.
Judge's gavel.
And?
Heroin needle.
Well, I mean, you don't have to write the whole thing for me.
Damn.
So yeah, this is the spoiler talk. If you don't want to know anything about this, or even season one, which Davey already spoiled, then please
do
not.
The show came out a year ago.
That's true.
Spoiler rules apply.
Oh, yeah. So yeah, right off the bat, I'll tell you where I cried. Yeah. I cried when the counselor was giving his testimony, and he was all like, I didn't mean to fail your daughter, and I'm sorry. That was really, like, I felt really bad. Like, I cried. That was really
okay,
sad.
I also had one good cry moment. And it was actually in the final episode.
Oh, I hated the final episode. What was your
moment? Hated it, except for this one scene. And it was, and this is a scene that bumped it from, like, a 1.5 to a 2. And it's when they're all at the dance, and a song comes on.
Oh,
that
God, really? I thought that was so corny.
Oh, it was incredibly corny. This entire fucking show is corny. But he starts crying and everyone kind of starts, like, coming up to him and they hold him.
Yeah, but even people who didn't have anything to do with anything last season or with that fucking song came up to him and started surrounding him, too. So that was pretty stupid.
Yeah, like, Tony's new boyfriend or whatever
comes
out of nowhere.
Yeah, why the fuck was he there? And on top of that, all, like, the punk rock kids, yeah, let's go huddle him because he looks sad.
Yeah, those punk rock kids had no idea what any of that was about. And they knowing their personality, they probably would have laughed at him and kicked his ass.
they would have got their ass kicked.
That's no, true, but they would have attempted to kick their ass.
I honestly strongly believe that in the shadow of a tragedy like that, people will come together. It was the only moment in this entire season that I felt was an honest portrayal of what happens after a suicide.
Was a year ago, but yeah.
Going back to the book, I don't know if we should maybe try and review this in, like, sequential order, so I'm gonna try my best, but I know we're not going to stick to that. But going back to the book, that it ended in a way where, like, he had learned a lesson about... The book had a little bit better intentions, and it was about, you know, looking out for people and seeing the signs of people that might commit suicide and helping them.
Yeah.
And so he kind of tries to be friends with this girl, Sky, at the end of the book. Right?
Yeah.
They sullied that in this season because he suddenly, for no reason, is totally madly in love with her and they have zero chemistry, zero reason to be together. The show's like, you want to help someone not commit suicide? Totally add to their stress by putting them in a horrible relationship with you.
Yep.
That side story was fucking stupid.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, what do you guys think? What some plot points you guys didn't care for? The biggest thing to me is the Kevin thing.
Who's
Kevin? Is that not his name? The Asian dude?
Is that the dad?
Zach.
Zach,
yeah. Zach. Why did I think Kevin? I don't know. Because my brother's Kevin's Asian. My brother's Asian. His name is Kevin. So when I think of Asian, because I think Kevin.
Kevin Porter, however, was a counselor.
Oh, Kevin Porter was a counselor. But the Zach thing, I fucking hated that.
That came out of fucking nowhere. It was really stupid. There was no chemistry at all to even set that even up. So I don't even understand why they even thought to do that.
He is one of the reasons why she killed herself. One of the reasons why. And what was her tape to him, if you remember? I think it was something about, like, the other guys were mean to her, and then he tried to be nice to her, and then she, for no reason, was a bitch to him. Mm. And then he kind of took revenge by, like, writing a note. I kind of forgot, but I know that...
It was something about, like, notes and stuff. It was very, very small.
It was very small. And yet he was one of the reasons, but she completely forgot to neglect to tell him. Oh, and that happened before their relationship. So that thing that she killed herself over happens, and then she forgives him by giving him her virginity and then fucking him all summer long. And then the way he ends it, or they end it, is way more traumatic, and it's not, I'm just saying, in comparison to, it's way more traumatic than him writing a mean note about her.
This season was so clearly an afterthought in every possible way, mm-hmm. because once they found out how much of a cultural watershed moment that this show had become, not in the way that I think they intended it to be, they started to milk the cow for every single thing that it was worth. This season, I'm trying to be more positive. I'm trying to not be as angry. This show is emotionally, morally, creatively bankrupt. This season not only disrespects everyone who dares watch it, it disrespects the people who watched the first season or gave a shit about the first season. And that is the perfect example of that, because nothing, it doesn't make any sense. If you went back and watched the episode about Zach, the tape that Hannah made about Zach, mm-hmm. it makes no goddamn sense now.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, like, I feel like this is bad of me to say, and if I'm wrong, you guys can tell me I'm wrong, and I'll take a good long look in the mirror, but something about taking that innocence from her character makes me dislike her even more. I'm not saying that women can't own their own sexuality, but to paint a picture of this virginal-type girl in the first season, and then going as far as raping that virginity, is kind of sad.
Because... It's not only that she is a virgin, but the show virginizes her. They make her out to be, like, this perfect thing that does everything right in the first
season. Through the eyes of clay, they totally paint this picture. Like, she is the one, man. She's the one that got away, and it's your fault.
Exactly. And the show never differentiates between, who she was and who clay sees her as, it blends those two into a mishmash of a character. And then in this season, when they're trying to make her seem more like a realistic teenager, it's objectively more tragic, I think, but the damage has already been done.
Right. And the same thing, my same feelings go towards her being kind of like a, not a druggie, but like there's several scenes where she does drugs or that kind of thing. And like, again, there's nothing wrong with being a high schooler and trying to find out what version of yourself you are by trying out different vices. But to contradict what we had already known about her, it's just so jarring and just doesn't have a good aftertaste to me.
Yeah. I think it also sucks, too, the way that they played it out. In the first season, she was scared to be with Clay intimately, but there was no reason for that in the second series.
Seriously.
Like, she would have given it to him if, you know, like...
Right.
I believe that the reason that she was uncomfortable with being with Clay was because it was after she had been assaulted.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't.
It wasn't?
No, it wasn't.
Oh, well, then that's just another incredible retcon.
Right. Yeah. Seriously. So...
So she's been with Foley. She's been with,
Not Ben. She hasn't fucked Foley, but...
I know, but they... Didn't they mess around or whatever?
She had slept with Zach.
Zach, and then... Yeah.
It's implied that she has other guys on the side, because there's several scenes where it's like, ooh, who are you texting? She's like, you don't know, it don't matter, you know? But anyway, so one of the reasons she kills herself is because Clay doesn't, sort of hesitates when they're about to hook up. and she senses that in him, and she thinks it's because he believes that she's a slut, right? And instead yes. of and so instead of staying with her and being like, no, I don't think that, I love you, that's one of the reasons why she kills herself, which is a bullshit reason. We've already talked about that, okay?
Yes.
But in reality, that is total bullshit by the fact that she's sexually active. It's 100% bullshit. Because she wouldn't have those thoughts, those worries, if she owns her sexuality in the way that the show tells us now that she owns her
right.
sexuality, where she takes it and she gets what she wants. Even to go as far as having a, I don't want to say it's grotesque because it's all back shots and no nudity just shown, but to have this like montage scene of them having sex and her getting on top because she has the power.
And I think that retconning in particular kind of illustrates the grander problem with this show, and is the fact that it has no idea how teen girls work. It has no idea how teen girls' sexuality works. It has no idea what's going on in the heads of anyone under the age of 35.
You know why? Because it's produced by fucking Selena Gomez, who, again, people act as if, like, oh, she's such a real... She has problems. She's worked through them. No, she's a rich bitch and doesn't understand how high school works because she probably didn't go to a typical high school. You know what I mean?
Not that there's anything wrong with that. I'm sure Selena Gomez is a very well-intentioned and lovely person. My problem isn't even with her. It's with the people who are actually creatively responsible for this show, who very clearly have no idea what they're talking about.
You can't blame Selena Gomez. She's providing the money. She's providing the money. The writers will say, hey, do this, and the producer, the one's like, sure, let's roll with that. Like,
I blame Selena Gomez for being a part of the advertising campaign that either intentionally or not will lead people of a younger demographic like 13 or 14 who grew up watching her and stuff like Wizards of Waverly Place to check out the show when this is a show that should not be consumed by people of that age group. I don't blame her for anything in the show aside from the way that it is using her name and image as a tool of marketing.
Yes, there. That.
Fine, but I just don't like her.
And that's fine. You don't seem to like anybody.
I like you, Davey.
I like you too, TJ.
I liked the counselor. I thought that was... The counselor, all his scenes, to me, worked. Like, he was one of the few people who had listened to his tape, really taken a good look in the mirror.
And decided to fix it.
And, yeah, and was working actively against all threats, warnings. He knew... There's several scenes he said, I know I'm going to lose my job over this, but in the meantime, I'm going to do everything I can.
Yep.
I don't care. Yeah.
And it is nice that these people are trying to be halfway decent people. I respect that. But they're not well written, and they're not very well acted anymore. At least when they were all bickering and being terrible to each other in the first season, at least it was in a very odd Schadenfreude almost sort of way. At least it was somewhat compelling.
I totally disagree with you.
Okay, compelling is the wrong word, because I wasn't enjoying myself, but I was like, okay, cool, I gotta watch the next one. This might be the worst paced season of television I have ever seen.
Huh. I think this show is badly paced in general, not just this season.
It's very badly paced.
Again, it's
too
long.
This season ups the ante. It's so long. Why isn't this season 4 episodes?
No, I'm fine with the 13 episodes because it is fitting to the title. But right. The episode should be 40 minutes, maybe.
I agree.
Yeah.
They could have cut out a lot of content. Something I wish that they really would have played on a little bit more was Chloe's part. Like, with Chloe dating Bryce and everything. Like, that's...
this new character that I don't think was in the first season.
Yeah, well, she wasn't in the first season because she's... came after the fact. Like, that's okay to put in a series. It's fine.
Guess,
yeah.
But they act like she has more weight to
it. At the same time, too, but she's also been... part of the problem. So, like, her backstory kind of ties in to what the story is talking about now. And honestly, yeah. I found more interest in Chloe's story than anything else that was going on. I wish when she found out that she was pregnant, spoiler, that they actually spent more time talking about it versus, oh my god, I'm pregnant to whatever the fuck her face is.
All is forgiven then, now. No, fuck you, bitch.
And then two seconds later, she's out in the fucking gym fucking Foley, which doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
But, like, it doesn't even, there isn't even a beat, there isn't even a, oh no, you're pregnant? It's literally, Jessica, I'm pregnant, and then it cuts to the next scene.
It does, which is Jessica fucking Foley.
Exactly. Because the show doesn't care about the consequences of anything it has to do. It is only there for shock value. In the final episode, the character of Tyler, who was the creep, who, yeah, like, stalked and took pictures of people
from Shutterbug 72999999996.
Exactly. He has his head smashed against a sink, put in a toilet, and then there is a mop handle that is shoved up his ass, and then is removed, bloodied. There should be some fucking consequences to this shit. And there isn't. It's only there for shock value. Exactly. It is only there to titillate and make people go, oh, isn't that so crazy and so wild?
And they're so, really like that. They're so edgy for talking about this. Bravo to them. No.
They didn't have any actual conversation about it. They didn't talk about what's going to happen to those folks. That guy ran away with a fucking gun, and nothing's happening to him? Like, it's just fucking stupid. If they're going to make a show like this, they need to make it controversial by talking about it where nobody has the balls to do so.
I 100% agree with you. And part of that has to be being brave enough to tell your audience, hey, talk to your fucking parents. Because they totally tried to retcon their feelings by, like, every episode has this, talk to your parents about, and go to our website, because we know all about this bullshit.
Let's be real.
I want to train that real quick. So then, but then they totally bullshit that, because the story tells you don't talk to your parents. They'll never understand. No. You just got fucking ass-raped by a broomstick, and you're probably going to have health problems because things aren't supposed to go up there, especially not with that sort of force or deep.
Or wood.
Yeah, right. But don't talk to your parents. No.
So the reason...
Don't even call the cops. Nothing.
Right. So the fucking stupid reason, and I mean, I fully understand why they put that consent in the beginning of the episode, but the reason why is because the day that... season 2 was released, was the thing that happened.
It was supposed to release.
There was actually a school shooting that day. So they had to go back and record this type of consent to warn people. But, like, it's just stupid.
To warn people to act like they care.
I don't know.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think it's very callous. Specifically, because the very first episode begins with, like, a lot of the main cast members being like, hey, I'm blank, and I play blank, and we just want to let you know that this is a very intense show, and you shouldn't be watching it.
They've only ended there. Yeah, don't watch this. All right, bye.
And it was like, maybe you shouldn't watch this if this is going to be upsetting to you. Then don't have it on the single most accessible streaming platform in the world, where there is no way of verifying a person's age or mental stability.
Correct.
If this was a movie, if this was an R-rated movie, I would have such a lesser problem with it, because you can turn away a child from seeing an R-rated movie by themselves. Mm-hmm. You can't make the show can't stop a 13-year-old from watching 13 Reasons Why. All they have to do is click on a button on their parents' Netflix account.
And it can't even help but promote it, because it's on the homepage.
Yeah. And on top of that, even if the parents have restrictions, guess who set up that restriction passcode or anything like that? The child, so...
Yeah. And there are advertisements for this on YouTube. I understand you have to advertise a piece of content that you make. I understand how the market works. But for God's sake... Also, there is stuff in this show, there are small little moments in this show that are more graphic than pretty much anything I've seen in a mainstream R-rated movie. This show is so fucking careless.
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to, like, the content of the show and everything like that, it was really off-putting on the way that they describe specific things. It's like basically like saying, hey, you want to smoke? It's peer pressure. This shit is fucking peer pressure. And when it comes to talking about suicide and stuff, that's fucking bullshit, because, you know, growing up, I actually, our school had a lot of suicides, and it sucked. Having this type of shit out, especially on now the newer generation, who's more likely to absorb it.
Idolize it.
And idolize it. They're going to be pulling more fucking shit like this, because they think they're going to be, oh, that person was replicated, now they're going to be famous because of it after they're dead. Like, it's just so stupid, the fact that they would even do this, especially on the generation that is out there right now. It's ridiculous.
Because honestly, it's a pretty tempting idea.
Yeah, of course.
Being able to walk out and just leave a box of cassette tapes that say, this is everyone that's hurt me, and this is everything that I have to say, and fuck all of you guys.
Yeah, this is my fuck off to you.
It's, I'm not gonna lie, it's a wonderful fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
It is a fantastic fantasy.
Davey, but do we need to have a talk?
No. I'm trying to be, like, legitimately serious, and I'm sorry, this is not very good podcasting, but I'm trying to not cry.
Oh.
This, it's a tempting idea, and it is incredibly irresponsible in so many ways that they would make a show like this aimed at this demographic, because whether they intended it or not, they know that this is a, that this was a book that was paraded around in middle schools. This is a show that is being talked about by every single person. Yeah. This show is a cultural phenomenon, and if they do not realize the kind of people that are watching the show or could be affected by it, with the graphicness and the lack of any actual answers, even if they have the fucking, if you're feeling sad, please contact our website so we can get a little bit of ad revenue over your pain, because they are already getting so much money off of people's pain. We tell stories to make people feel not alone. We tell stories about horrible, hard, painful things, and we show it honestly to show that people are not alone. This show makes you feel so fucking alone. And I know that if I watched this show about 5 years ago, it would have put me in a very, very, very incredibly dark and difficult place. This show is incredibly irresponsible.
Yeah.
I hate this show. I hate everything it stands for. I hate everything it stands about. Are there good aspects? I think the actor that plays Bryce is incredible. I think the actor that plays Hannah's mom, Kate Walsh, does a really good job. And I hope that they get good work.
Too bad they're all fucking stupid, though. I don't want to, like, pull away from your thing, but I also don't want to dwell too much on, like, sad stuff either.
I understand.
It's hard to talk about, but,
We're still making entertainment. Thank you.
But, you know, I 100% agree with you. It's not good. It's not a good thing for people, but, you're right over there? Okay.
Yeah.
So then, the problem is that some of these kids are... I have two major points. I have three things I really disliked about it. The Kevin thing I brought up, his name's not Kevin, it's Zach.
Zach.
The next thing is, like, a lot of these characters are very different than who they were first season.
Yes.
And not in, like, a we've learned kind of way, but more just, like, they're totally... Like, that character Zach was not so abrasive. I'm sorry, he was more abrasive and quiet.
They're completely changed. Changed to fit the narrative of the season.
Right, yeah. He's not the same person he was, and not because he's learned, but just because he's a dumb jock. He's not, obviously. He's playing a character, but, like, just his motivations and the things he does. And, like, the character of Jessica and Justin, they're all just... Oh, and that annoying Chinese girl. She is suddenly a good person out of nowhere when she was one of the worst people from the previous season. And they're all just different now, you know? Like that girl Sky was a total kind of abrasive bitch. Like, I don't mean bitch in a mean way, but I mean, like, bitches, and she was a mean girl. She wanted nothing to do with you. Leave me alone. And now all of a sudden she's this, oh, I'm this suicidal, like, and no one likes me, and I'm a cutter, and Clay, I'm in love with you for no reason, and I'm suddenly... She kind of seemed like a preppy girl all of a sudden, just so that they can victimize her. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I completely understand.
My third reason is something that was, again, in the first season, and I mentioned it earlier, but these kids are so fucking stupid.
Yep.
They just are so stupid. Like, the one scene I liked, one of the last scenes I liked was when they all get together and they're going to try and get those pictures from that one asshole kid.
Monty.
And they, like, Monty, and they gang up on him, and they're like, all right, they're surrounding him, and it looks like hyenas circling their prey, and you're kind of like, all right, cool, I'm down for this. Let's work together. Let's get these bastards, right?
Yeah.
And he's like, okay, but I got to go get it somewhere. So they send the one fucking gimp to go with him.
Yeah, they send...
Why would they not all go? There's no reason for them to not go.
One had a dentist appointment.
Honestly, I don't know if that's a joke or if that's an actual plot point. This is the level of writing on this show, is that it is all based in convenience and nonsense.
Yeah, it's just like, there was no reason for them to do that. And to leave the pictures in the truck and to not make fucking copies.
Yeah. I get that they're Polaroids, but, like, just put them on a fucking scanner.
right? And not to tell anybody, any adult, any teacher. Oh, going back on, like, the dance thing. Hello, have you ever been to a dance where there's literally no chaperones? I haven't. Every single dance that I've ever gone through, there's security guards hanging out outside. They're actually cops smelling your breath, making sure you don't have alcohol. So, like, how in the fucking world can a 30-year-old boyfriend of Tony enter in the gym? Two, how is there a whole gun show happening and nobody's outside? And, like, all of a sudden, don't tell anybody, hop in the fucking car. Like, that doesn't make any sense. And then what does he do with the fucking gun?
He just holds it there. He just holds it as the cops pull up. Because the show isn't interested in explaining high school. It's not interested in explaining how teenagers interact. It's interested in shocking their mothers.
Yeah, it's so stupid.
Yeah, it's interested in shocking adults.
Yeah, and it just doesn't make any sense because, yeah, some stuff like that can happen in high school.
Yes.
But when it comes to, like, oh, a hidden clubhouse in the back of the thing, wouldn't be a thing at all. On top of that, like, if someone hangs up a fancy poster because it's someone's birthday, like, you has to get certain type of permission to do so.
Is that what you're worried about here?
I was very annoyed about that, actually.
And also, who just goes and is like, hey, you got a birthday poster put up for you. Ha ha, you're a nerd. Like, who cares?
Right, no one's, seriously.
Who's going to waste their time making fun of someone for that?
Yeah, I don't know. There was just so many things that were wrong in the show. Like I said, I really liked Clay's acting and a couple other people.
I really liked him in the first season, and I liked Dylan Minnette a lot, but I thought he was awful here.
Really? I liked him a lot.
I don't know. I feel like he just kind of gave up. Like, in the first season, he put forth a lot of effort, and he really did elevate the material, I thought, as a piece of entertainment. But here, it just felt like he was like, I'm under contract.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. In the first season, like, I feel like his emotions were a bit much because he was overreacting over nothing, I thought, especially since he didn't 100%. Have a reason.
But
at least he was going out of his way to do things about his emotions. Here, he just was like, I'm seeing a ghost, and I'm depressed, and I can't get over you, and what's my line again?
Yeah, he feels like he's sleepwalking through the entire thing. And even in the scene when he's, like, pointing a gun at Bryce, it's very, like, it's so muted.
Yeah.
Like, dude, take a fucking 5-hour energy drink. You'll be fine. Because he is a good actor, you know?
He is, but let's be real. I felt like that was a little bit more realistic than anything. Because if I had a gun and I had to hold it up to somebody after seeing Ghost, after having this emotional 2 weeks or whatever how long it was, the season lasted a week, and, like, it would be tiresome. I wouldn't know what's going on to the point of, like, what am I doing? Like, is this right? Like, I felt like it was very realistic, but that's just me.
Yes, but a show that is this reliant on shock value and this filled with inaccuracies just of how the average everyday person lives should not be able to say, oh, well, we're doing this because this is realistic. Because nothing else in the show is realistic.
It's not. I mean, I'm not saying...
But an actor's take on a scene could be different compared to the whole entire show.
Yes, but it needs to be a holistic thing. That's why I think Bryce, the actor that plays Bryce, is a good actor, is because he's playing an over-the-top, evil, horrible human being who deserves to be shocked. It's this heightened thing. It's the rules of an exploitation film, like an old-school exploitation film. Character emotions are heightened, everything is heightened and graphic and a little bit unnecessary.
Sure, I get what you're saying
with
that.
And you can't say that, oh, this is realistic.
No, you can't, because, like, I'm sorry, that kid would not have gotten off.
No.
I know in the real world, we see all these rapists and stuff that get off scot-free and, you know,
white privilege.
Right, privilege and all that shit. And it's horrible, and it's awful.
Yeah.
Right? But all the evidence they had stacked against this kid, he would not have gotten off. There was literally no way. And it doesn't even specify that he gets off. He gets 3 months probation, which, does that mean that he's guilty? Does that mean that he's not guilty? Does that mean that he got a warning? Does that mean that he's on the sex offender list? It's just like 3 months probation. Well, what does that mean, though? As far as, like, laws go, because you don't just get probation. There's a sentence.
Yeah, I don't...
Probation is your punishment, but there's still a decision made. and they never said what the decision was. Especially since they had, like, it was stupid about that one girl. They do that whole scene, which is supposed to be kind of women empowering, where they're all on the stand testifying about how horrible women are treated in today's modern society, which could have been powerful if it wasn't total bullshit, right, or contrived. But also, the one girl, the new girl that they brought in, the kind of black girl, the Jessica's friend.
The one that had the pictures?
The one that had the pictures. She takes to the stand, but she burns the pictures. So do you want to defend yourself or you don't? Make up your fucking mind.
Yeah, but at the same time, too, all the folks that were on the stand, that was literally just a...
It felt like it might have not actually happened.
It didn't happen at all.
Well, fine. Then that was a huge, like, misdirection of, like...
See, I even knew that. Like, I was trying to figure it out.
It didn't fit.
It was just one of those things where it's like, hey, this does happen, but only certain people are going to talk about it.
Right.
And guess what? Jessica did.
Yeah. Anyway,
after lying,
so the kids were stupid. He wouldn't have gotten away with what he did, and that shooter kid, like, Tyler. There's no reason, Tyler. There's no reason why he would not have told his parents that he was fucking raped.
Yeah, he was literally sodomized.
The
bathroom
problems would be solved, and that Bryce kid is even stupid too because he's on 3 months probation. He even says, "I can't touch you. I'll go to jail." But I can drink out openly, and I'm under 18.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. At a fucking dance, wear the goddamn chaperones again. Stupid.
Kids drink at parties and get away with it, but they don't go like, I can't touch you, I'll go to jail. I can't lay a finger on you, but I can drink. Like, what's the difference?
The thing is, though, like, he would have been under watch. If that school really had control over their school.
Well, they didn't. That was the point.
I know, but, like, they would have had chaperones. They would have said, hey, touch anybody or do anything incorrect, you're gonna get kicked off this property because you don't even go to school here anymore. Like, why was he even allowed back into that gym?
That's the big thing. Because nothing makes any sense.
Yes. This world is like Pluto.
The show they are selling, the show they were intending, and the show they made, and the show that is being received are four very different shows. And it is trying to be all of them at the exact same time, and it fails to be none of them.
Preach.
God, I hate this show.
With that being said, we already did our ratings, so...
With that being said, you had a gavel and a heroin stick.
Oh. Anyone else have any more final thoughts? Are we good?
I do kind of want to talk a little bit. Just do not watch this show. This is just one of the most infuriating pieces of programming I think ever seen, and there were multiple times where I had to have someone else with me to watch an episode simply because out of sheer anger I wanted to close my computer. The only reason I watched this is to review this for the show, and the only reason I could get through it is by convincing myself that hopefully it can do a little bit of good to have someone not watch this show. Do not watch 13 Reasons Why Season 2. Please.
I would second that. Don't watch it.
I kind of liked it.
I'm not even saying it's based on quality. Because I think it's poor in quality, but I think it's abhorrent.
No, the intentions is horrible. No, I agree. I'm just saying from what we were given and being forced to watch it to review for the show, I kind of like some aspects that I've already talked about. But again, it doesn't know how to land on its feet, and it has poor intentions, right? That last episode I find to be horrendous. It was very long and contrived, and this emotional bullshit, and then it ends with this, oh, there's going to be a shoot. And don't get me wrong, I'm glad they dropped that point.
Yeah.
Especially with what was happening in the world at that time as it was released.
No, at that time, at this time, always.
True.
But, like, I'm glad they sort of dropped that point, but they spent too much building up to it also, because it, at this point, at the way they dropped it, it might as well have just happened. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway... so I have a hair needle and a gavelin?
Yeah, a judge's gavel.
Right. So, there's a courtroom, right?
Really?
And the judge secretly has to put away
his brother.
I know, it's his dad. He has to put away his dad, but he doesn't have the heart to do it because he loves his dad, but he knows his dad's a piece of shit and is guilty. He knows his dad is guilty, but through some mix-up of Hollywood magic and, oops, they have different last names, no one knows that they're related, right? So the judge is sitting in his chambers, and he has all the evidence in front of him, and he knows he has to send his dad away to death, but he doesn't do it. He reaches in his desk drawer, and you see a bottle an alcohol bottle and it's slightly corked. It's been opened, right? There's dust on it, but it's been opened. But then he opens the drawer a little wider and the bottle rolls dramatically and it clicks against the edge of the drawer. And what is to be revealed? But a heroin needle. So he sticks it in a scene of like, no! He's so torn with this decision that he has to do. And then he walks into the courtroom and he sees his dad and he slams the gavel on the floor and he says, not guilty. And the courtroom goes, and there's that scene where everyone's like, your honor, I, and then he slams the gavel down. He's like, I dismiss this case on the count of evidence is
heroin.
The evidence is heroin. And yeah. And then he walks out, he's leaving, he's going to his car. He's coming down. He knows he made the wrong decision, but he did it for his dad out of love. And his dad has been emotionally torturing him for most of his life. And he turns around and he sees the person that the dad had, I don't know what's his crime, hurt.
Yeah.
And the guy kills him. Damn. And the kid that the guy hurt was the heroin dealer. The dad hurt the heroin dealer. The heroin dealer sold the judge heroin, and the judge let the dad off. And it's just a circle of people coming this fall.
Okay,
the
so
new sitcom.
So what's the title of this movie?
I think the title was in what you said to me: the needle and the gavel, right there.
Damn,
damn.
That's kind of poetic and beautiful.
Thank you, thank you. And that was, and at least those people admit they were shitty people, as opposed to the people on this show. Thank you. That was 13 Reasons Why season 2.
Don't watch
sorry
it.
For the bummer.
Yeah, sorry. That's my fault.
No.
No, it's not your fault.
No,
it's the show's
fault.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, you can find me. I'm Davey. You can find me at 13reasonswhy.info.
Now that we know, now we owe them money too. Good job.
Damn it.
Damn, Shutterbug and... Wait, what,
if you make that joke one more time, I'm going to take this broomstick and make you clean with it. Make you clean with it. Like the South of America person you are.
All right.
Wow.
A, bit racist. B, almost super fucked up. C, just wasn't that funny. And D,
thank you.
And D, just no.
He is lost for words.
I don't know what to say. I've been told I'm not funny, and my whole life is a lie, and I'm just at a loss for words.
Are you gonna make a tape about it? About 13 of them. I'm Leslie. Don't follow me.
I'll make a tape about how Davey is one of the reasons I killed myself, and then next season you'll find out that I lost my virginity.
Oh wait. I forgot the biggest thing. That fucking list that she typed on the grocery store computer.
The reasons why she shouldn't kill herself is a bullshit list.
Fucking stupid. I'm Leslie. Don't follow me. You could not follow me on Instagram. LOOKSOPRETTY.
I'm TJ. Find me on Facebook, Mr. John Hooker 711. Yay. Okay, bye.
I still have to actually do with the thing.
Oh, yeah. Do your thing.
I'm Davey. You can find me on Twitter at Davey Peppers. You can find me on Instagram at the Davey Peppers. And I don't know, if you're feeling sad, get help from like a real person.
Yes. Yeah. Talk to your fucking parents.
Yeah, talk to your fucking parents. Talk to a counselor. Talk to somebody who actually cares. Let's be real, we've all lived in the world where suicide does seem like a thing, but it's bigger than that. You have to just find help for it. So be cool, kids.
Don't burn evidence.
Yeah,
that's stupid.
That's fucking stupid.
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Bye. Toodles. Bye.